broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And this is a show where truth is our bitch and we make truth your bitch.
Yeah.
That is our goal on this here radio show. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and so they don't. And we're just doing, you know, we're just, we're on the rock pile here, man. You know, we're just doing our time, making our busboy money, according to Ted Bell. Anyway, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're going to have Brad Rifkin on this hour. He is a advertising executive with Rifkin. Now, if you're looking at Phil TV and HD, you're looking at a dog with a ski cap on. Well, that's Howie Bean. That's just one of many entries in our Phil lookalike contest. You can see how much people love me. Their dog looks like me. Here is just a sampling of people who've submitted pictures. The great comic actor Horatio Sanz sent us a picture there from Saturday Night Live fame and other greatness. There is Bobby, one of our listeners, some guy who photoshopped something horribly. There's Shawnee Ann, and a bunch of listeners who have sent their Phil lookalike pictures. You can do that before midnight. And the winner, of course, wins a Legacy Best Of CD, personally autographed by me, and I will write anything you want in it, including, you know,
like four-letter words and stuff, and dirty stuff, too.
Yeah, that's what I've heard that.
Well, you know, Bud, you're like, what is that, a selling point or something?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are going to answer stuff if you'll do dirt, you know, if you'll write dirty stuff.
Yeah.
What do you mean, dirty stuff? What does that mean?
They want to know if you'll say stuff about, you know, your friend's a douchebag.
I'll write stuff like that. I don't like you guys putting it like dirty stuff. Okay? It's not like that. 877-876-PHIL is the number. The West Memphis Three. Have you heard of this story? Well, you should be aware of this. This was, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, but I've looked into this thanks to friends and one friend in particular who was very much interested in this story. And this was a miscarriage of justice, the likes of which was so extreme that even the parents, at least in one case, and I think in two cases, the parents of the victims, 3 8-year-old boys, the parents, at least in two cases of the victims, agreed that the guys, these guys should be set free. And they were today. Damian Eccles, Jason Baldwin, and Jesse Miskelly. These three men were set free from incarceration in West Memphis, Arkansas, I believe. And this was after 18 years, if you can imagine, 18 years. 36-year-old men, when they went in, they were kids. In my opinion, and in the opinion of others, it's been a miscarriage of justice. Now, I recognize that these three men were convicted without DNA evidence. They were convicted at a time in 1993 when we were really not all that familiar with, nor were we using in every single case, every single trial, DNA science. It was still developing. I can remember doing a radio interview in 1990. I interviewed a forensic scientist of some kind. I can't remember the gentleman. I think he was law enforcement. He was a forensic specialist. And on the show, he said to me, and we're starting now to develop DNA profiles, and this is going to be a very, very important. And I said, really? I said, tell me about this. He says, well, everyone has their DNA signature, blah, 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 blah. And we have these. We've been keeping DNA on file now for several years, and we're very close to having a test that we can yada, 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 and all this. And I remember hearing this and thinking, this is amazing. I mean, and I said to him, when? He says, well, right now we're still in the iffy stage. Right now, it still takes a while, but it won't be long now. And he was right. But in 1993, it was still quite elaborate science. Nonetheless, these three guys were released from prison today, and it was in West Memphis, Arkansas, as I mentioned. And even one of the most outspoken of these parents, a guy by the name of Byers, I think was his name. I think I mentioned to you, Jason, last night, the guy's name was, I got him wrong. I got one of the parents wrong. This guy is one of these very colorful, and I call him colorful. At one point, I think I thought the guy was out of his freaking mind. I mean, I just thought he was a real scumbag. And this guy was an individual who was planted up for the cameras, you know? You remember that, Bud?
Yeah, the guy's all like, and he's got to kill my son.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
He killed my son.
Do it some more.
Killed my son.
All right, fine.
But I mean, that's what he's doing. He's standing over there going, these guys got to burn in hell and all that. And I mean, the guy just was a douchebag par excellence. And then, what do you think happened? Then all of a sudden, yeah, I think they're innocent.
I saw him today. Yeah, his name is, excuse me, John Mark Byers. His stepson, Christopher, was among the three second graders. He was very outspoken and very loud and very theatrical and very, you know what I'm saying? He was just like a real wild man. And at one point, he was so weird. Well, you know, let's get Brad Rifkin on the line here from Las Vegas as we talk about this case. Brad, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program. And I like the impression that this man, Bud's doing there.
Yeah, do your impression again, Bud.
He killed my son, and right here burning hell.
That's exactly like him, man.
Well, that is a lot like it. And
what'd you say about that guy Byers?
Well, I think what you said. This guy Byers is one of these what do they call a attention whore? You know?
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's an attention whore. He wants everybody to look at him. And you know, I understand that he lost the stepson, and I think that there's no you know, you don't want to make light of that, but he just played it up a lot, you know, and. Really, what are we talking about here? We're talking about Southern justice, you know. What are we talking about, huh? We're talking about Southern justice. So when we came up with a set up, when I talked to you today, and I talked to your producer, and I said, you know, the Southern justice bracelet is, it's a reminder, the same way that the MIA bracelet's a reminder, you know, that there's unfinished business. But, and I want to interrupt that, you know, myself, and say...
Wait, interrupt yourself, what do you mean?
Shut up, Bud, will you? I'm talking to the guy.
Say that like an Italian. I'm talking to the guy.
No, that's funny. You gotta admit that's funny.
Well, both of you guys settle down, okay?
I would. Well, let me say this. I thought that this bracelet that we came out with, Southern Justice Bracelet, would be a reminder like an MIA bracelet, but it would also be something that was very lighthearted, that you could say, hey, look at me, you know, I got arrested by Boss Hogg or something like that. I don't want it to be completely negative.
All right, well, you've got this Southern Justice bracelet. Anybody, it's a unisex?
That's exactly, anybody can wear it. It's very tasteful. It's like a bracelet, almost like the bracelet that you wear, the bracelet-style wristband on a watch, okay?
Right.
And so you wear this, and on it, it says Southern Justice. It's got West Memphis 3 on one side, and then on the other side, it has St. Augustine. There's a chain of St. Augustine, Selma. I forget what else. You can have anything you want.
All right, now I want to interrupt you right there. Do you think that the West Memphis 3 is the same as Selma and St. Augustine? And
No, it's a miscarriage of justice.
Yeah, but these are two completely different eras. You know,
well, they're two different eras, yes, Phil, but they're also, it's the same. See, what I'm trying to say here is, yeah, it's two different eras, there's no question, but it's the same, you know, if you were to say it the way I heard you guys talking tonight, it's the same pack of douchebags, you know, it's...
Well, what does that mean?
It's Southern justice. So...
So, in other words, there is no justice.
Well, Phil, look... You saw what I saw today. You saw three guys getting out of a jail cell after 18 years inside. And now, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means.
They got out, didn't they?
Hold on. Let me tell you what that means. It means those three guys got out. How many other guys are still in?
That's a good point.
Well,
that is a good point. And how many are black? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, how many of them are black? How many of them are black?
Probably more, a lot of black men still in there that let these three white boys out.
Well, what are you saying, Robert? Are you saying all these three white boys, you know?
No, I'm saying that they should get out. I was wrong. But I'm saying, how come, you know, for every white boy that's let out or every white man that's in jail, in the South because of injustice. How many black people in there?
Well, you're going down a road I don't want to. The road you're going down now is dark with no street lighting. You know
what are you talking about? Dark with no street lighting?
I don't want to start getting racial.
Oh, you don't want to start getting racial now? When we were talking about the three guys of the West Memphis Three. You know,
that's all right. I know you hate black people.
I don't hate black people. I got a black girlfriend.
Doesn't make any difference to me. You the whole.
Would you guys just shut up for a minute, okay? I don't want you constantly getting into your own personal debate.
Look, let me calm things down here for a minute and say this. I agree with Robert, and I agree with Bud. I think that there has been injustice, and I think we all know it, and I think we're all aware of Southern injustice. I think even Southerners are aware of Southern injustice. And so, with the Southern Injustice Awareness Bracelet, you can put this on and look down at your wrist and...
What does that mean when you look at your wrist?
Well, you look at your wrist and you... A lot of things. It could mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. It could mean, you know, I'm sorry for these people, what happened to them, or it could mean I'm not going down south anytime soon, or it could mean... Or it could have, as I said to you, that sort of Dukes of Hazzard feel, which is more of a comedic thing, which is, hey, Boss Hogg did it again, you know. It can be comedy, it can be serious. It can be lighthearted, it can be about someone being kicked to death in a cell. It can be about...
Whoa, man, boy, wow.
What?
Well, that's a... It can be lighthearted, or it can be about someone getting kicked to death in a cell.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is...
There's something there for everybody, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's something there for everybody. What I'm trying to say is the picture that you get of the Southern Justice is of this big beer belly guy. And I think probably the prototype was Rod Steiger in The Heat of the Night.
Well, Rod Steiger did that, but he got that from the four defendants in the bombing, the church bombing in Birmingham.
Exactly. The law enforcement.
Yeah, those sheriffs.
Right. The guy that wore the boots and...
The guy that was shoving the red man into his face, yeah.
Right. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. Right there. That kind of indifferent cruelty, injustice, that at the same time is comic, Phil. If you look at a guy with those boots and that red man, you're thinking, here's a guy that is a clown or he's hanging a man from a tree. So,
I don't know that I like the idea of wearing a bracelet that encompasses those two images, you know?
Well, I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
Well, what I mean is, whatever your Southern Injustice bracelet means, there's something about it that I find destructive when one can laugh, using the same symbol, one can laugh at two extremely different and diametrically opposed images, one that is comic, but the other that is murderous and horrible, and I don't know that I really like, you know, a symbol like that. All right, so we have Brad Rifkin in Las Vegas. What do you guys think so far?
Well, I think that he's got a good idea that there is some injustice. You know, I think what he's got to do is probably like what you say, you can't have a sheriff and a lynching.
I think I like it. I think it's a good idea, and I think you got to, you know, but, yeah, I do agree that... You know, probably shouldn't have all the bad stuff.
Whatever.
What do you mean? That's what you said.
All right. Well, that's good. All right. So we'll take a break here. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back with Brad Rifkin as he talks to us about the Southern Injustice Awareness Bracelet that he is selling as the result of the West Memphis 3 getting out of jail.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. There's the story there. It's on our Phil TV in HD. Three men convicted in the 1993.
Was it 33?
Not 1930. 1993 Cub Scout slayings go free. And they were released, Brad, for a number of reasons, but mostly because there was no real evidence. There's no evidence connecting him to the crime.
Well, that was it. There was no evidence. There was a lot of... what there was, Phil, and this is what makes it different from the Casey Anthony case, and again, this is what makes it Southern justice. In the Casey Anthony case, although the Casey Anthony case was a Southern justice case, too, and so, you know, I just think about that. You know, that was Southern justice, you know?
Well, it's Southern justice, if you want to call it Southern justice, Southern justice in a different way of looking at it. It's Southern justice, she was innocent.
Right, but I mean, it was still injustice. Southern justice is injustice. That's what it's come to mean, injustice.
What about, can I interrupt you for a second?
Go ahead.
What about what people think about this? You know, people who are Southerners. And who may not like the idea of Southern justice being synonymous with injustice.
Well, I apologize. You know, it's rough. It's tough to be a Southerner. You know, but I mean, what do you say to someone? You live in the South, and like Bud, what'd that guy do?
Yeah, you mean Byers?
Yeah.
This is what a Southern... My boys was killed! My boys was killed, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, your boy, what are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about how Southern justice.
It's Southern justice. Some guy screaming and yelling and not making any sense. So
Casey Anthony, all right, let's get off of Casey Anthony for a minute.
I wish I was on her. You know.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I wish it was on her.
That's uncalled for, okay?
I'm sorry.
That was uncalled for. We're talking about a murder case. We're talking about three kids that are dead. In the Casey Anthony case, there's another child that's dead.
Said to get off of Casey Anthony, so I said.
No, I heard what you said.
I said I wish I was on her to get off of her.
That'll be the fifth time you've said it. I understand.
Well, Mr. All right.
You got a good line off. You got to give him that.
No, I don't. And why don't you shut up, okay?
Well, just trying to contribute as a co-host.
He ain't no co-host, and neither are you. You guys are a couple of. You're working security here, and he's an intern. So don't be butting in every 5 seconds, bud.
Just saying, a guy said a funny line.
Yeah, I mean, I did. You said, why don't you get off Casey Anthony?
I know, and you said you wish you were on her. I got it. Now, Southern justice, as you are describing it, means what? Injustice?
It means injustice. It means railroading a guy and he hasn't got a prayer. It means throwing a man into prison. It means putting a man into a jail cell, into a prison cell that he does not deserve. It means taking an innocent man, convicting him of the worst possible crime, and then throwing him in prison. That's Southern justice. And that's why we got the Southern Justice bracelet, the Southern Justice Awareness bracelet, so that people could wear it, and they could look down and they'd say, oh, yeah, that reminds me, you know.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. And again, I asked this question.
Well, yeah, oh, yeah, that reminds me that Southern... That down south, it ain't too good. I mean, it can remind you of anything.
All right, so people are picking these up, and by how much are they?
Yeah, the Southern Justice bracelet, the one price, it's a male, it's fits all sizes, men or women, $15, plus shipping and handling, and we can give that address now, or...
We'll do it at the end of the hour.
Okay, but the Southern Justice bracelet is suitable for formal wear, informal wear. You can add to it. It has the different elements that you can add to it, which is the Selma, Alabama, St. Augustine, that kind of thing. But the Southern Justice bracelet is something that I think people are going to enjoy because like I said, and I use some bad examples.
You're telling me that it's funny and it's not funny and it's ha-ha and it ain't ha-ha.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. The point that I was going to make here that I tried to make and I didn't, and I want an answer to this is, what about people in the South who are trying to make a better environment in terms of the legal, in terms of law and in terms of justice? People that want those bad old days to be forgotten.
Well, I mean, if you want the bad old days to be forgotten, you're going to have to quit making the bad old days, because here we have these guys that got let out of, you know.
Well, should they not have been let out of prison?
No, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been let out of prison, but by the same token, when you let him out of prison, now you let everybody know, hey, guess what? Look at this. The guy's out of prison, and why, really? Why were they in prison? Well, we wish you'd rather not ask that question. I don't know how that works. So they're out of prison, and they were in prison because we railroaded them. We railroaded them, and we stuck them in there. And then we got around to letting them out 18 years later. And that's Southern justice, you know. So.
And you're selling these bracelets for your own personal profit, correct?
You know, that's right.
Well, okay, I just want to make sure. And, okay, tell us where they can pick those up.
You can buy the bracelets at... Or call...
All right, thanks very much, Brad Rifkin.
Yes, sir.
Phil Hendry.
Marilyn Donnelly coming up, and Chris Norton.
Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back on our website, philhendryshow.com. We've got a Phil look-alike contest. I guess we have just a few. We've got a half an hour left here on Pacific time. Big, you know, big contest, really big prize, a legacy CD we're giving away that is being personally autographed by Phil Hendry. But what you do is to send us a picture. You got to go over to Phil Hendry Show. You got to go over to twitter.com/realphilhendry and drop a picture off over there if you want to be a part of that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. A couple of things in the news. Marilyn Donnelly was going to come on here, but I don't know what she has, what she's going to talk about, bud.
I don't know, but we got her on the phone and figure it out and give her a call back.
Chris Norton was going to talk about any of these people, okay? So get them on the phone and ask them these questions that you should have done during the break.
I was talking about Brad Rifkin and everything like that.
You're too busy doing your John Byers impressions.
Let me do it again. They killed my boy. Man, I love that. They killed my boy. What do you think?
I think it's marginal. I think it's marginal. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Is she on the line?
Yeah, we can get her up right now if you want. Ms. Donnelly? Yeah, here she is.
Marilyn, how are you doing?
I'm very good, Phil. How are you?
Fine, and it's great to talk with you, and I didn't think we'd get you on the line, but I did want to talk to you about this particular case that you're working on.
Well, I'm not really working on the case myself. It is a case that is of interest to me, and I thought that your producer was going to put a little more information there for me when he emailed me, but he didn't. And
well, that's okay. He's not thinking very fast tonight. Well, tell me a little bit. Let's get her line back up there, bud, if you wouldn't mind, okay?
Yeah, hold on. Yes, you.
Yeah, I don't know. What did you need?
Well, there was a case that I brought to the attention of your producer, having to do with a man that committed a crime and then had a sex change operation and became a woman. I think this brings to mind the case that you were just speaking about, which was the West Memphis Three. Now, this is a transgender inmate who had been waiting for years on whether she could get a taxpayer-funded sex change operation. She eventually did and changed her name to Michelle. But now, the question in my mind and the question that I did forward to the federal judge in Boston, now that she is a woman, she is not guilty of the crime. A man is guilty of the crime. And I'm wondering if they will take that into consideration.
Now, what is your thinking again?
Well, my thinking was this, and the more I articulate it, the less interesting it is, but my thinking was...
Hold on for a minute. The more you articulate it, the less interesting it is.
Yeah, well, it was very interesting to me about a half an hour ago while I waited to call your show, which was, this is a woman who committed a murder as a man.
And so she's not guilty.
Well, that was what I was going to say to you, but now I realize it's pretty asinine.
I thought it was pretty good.
Well, Bud said he thought it was pretty good.
Well, that doesn't matter to me. It is pretty asinine.
So, in other words, you still think she's guilty?
Yes, I do. I originally thought that I might come on your program and make the case that, well, no, she's not guilty. He is.
Well, let's talk about this. I don't exactly know what prompted your original thinking.
Well, I think I was just trying too hard to be a guest on your program. I hadn't been on for a long time. And so I called Bud up and I said, well, what about this? And he went, oh, yeah.
You thought you were trying...
Yeah, well, she wanted to be on a show.
I wanted to be a guest on your show, so I thought I'd come up with something.
All right, so in other words, it's not very interesting.
It's very contrived.
All right, so if I hang up on you...
No, let me hang up on myself.
All right, thanks a lot, Bud.
Not my fault. She said she wanted to come on and idea.
Yeah, she said she wanted to come on and she had an idea. Did you ask her what the idea was?
I heard him ask her. He said, what's your idea? And she goes, man committed a murder, but now he's a girl. And he didn't commit it. And I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I guess it wasn't interesting enough because the guest herself...
What are you hesitating for?
I was going to say the guest himself, but she's...
No, it's still a he, because she's pre-surgical.
All right, the guest himself doesn't like the idea. He thought it was stupid, and he was going to come on my show and argue something that he now thinks is stupid. All right, 877... Good God.
I didn't know.
877-876-PHIL. All right. Skincare brand Nivea, their popular Look Like You Give a Damn campaign. This is the Skincare Nivea Lotions popular Look Like You Give a Damn campaign. You know this stuff, Robert?
Why you asking me?
Because black people use it.
That's why I thought you asked me. That's racist of you.
All right, I'm sorry. Bud, do you know it?
No.
There, you happy?
You asked me first.
Great. Skincare brand Nivea's popular Look Like You Give a Damn campaign went very awry this week after they released a new print ad that showed a well-groomed, clean-shaven black man about to toss away a rubber mask of himself with facial hair and an afro.
Man, that's racist.
Why is it? Well, hold on. You may be right.
Yeah, but you're laughing at it.
Maybe I am laughing at it. Over the model, words in a giant font read, "Re-civilize yourself." The public outrage over the ad was immediate, with many calling the ad racist. The message couldn't be clearer, wrote Nona Willis Aronowitz of Good Magazine. Wait a minute. Nona Willis Aronowitz at Good Magazine, natural hair on a black man isn't a style preference or a nod to Afrocentrism. It's straight up uncivilized. You know, I'm getting really sick and tired of some of you whites weighing in on behalf of black people. Why is that?
I don't know. What is that?
It's bothering me. It's just
Yeah, look into that, Mr. Henry. That's a weakness in yourself.
What do you mean that's a weakness in myself? Maybe other white people agree with me.
I don't know, man. If they're standing up for black people.
How do you know they're standing up for black people? How do you know they're not just trying to get their street cred or they're trying to get their ghetto pass or some bullcrap like that, man? Nona Willis Aronowitz, who says Afrocentrism. What do you mean? What do you mean Afrocentrism? What's that supposed to mean? Everybody down in Africa now has got an afro? Is that it? You know, they wear an afro in Fiji. What about Fiji-centrism? They do. Go to Fiji. Everybody's got an afro. That ain't Africa, last I checked. Are they black people in Fiji?
What?
Are those black people in Fiji? Yes or no?
Well, I ain't never seen no Fiji people.
I haven't either, but you said they look black, huh?
People in Fiji look African-American. Or they look African, yes. Are they?
No, man. They're from Fiji.
They're from Fiji. So they're not African. They're not black. So what are they?
No, they're black.
Oh, they are black.
Well, yeah.
Are Australopoid people, the Aboriginal people of Australia, are they black?
No, they're brown.
Oh, they're brown. Why are they brown?
They ain't black.
They ain't black, huh? But people in Fiji are black. So, you see, what we have to do here is we have to start asking some questions here. We have to start asking, are we talking about a continent? When you say Afrocentrism, are you talking about black? Do we have to go back to the good old word Negro? No, we wouldn't want to go back to that. So what are we talking about here?
I don't know. Why don't you ask that Aronowitz woman?
Yeah, I think I will. I'll get her on the phone. Hey, Nona Willis Aronowitz of Good Magazine. As long as we're talking about Afrocentrism and Afro hairdos, What are they wearing in Fiji? Is that a Fiji-centric thing? I don't know. So she, this Aronowitz woman at Good Magazine, what the hell is Good Magazine anyway?
Well, they had Bad Magazine, and that...
Yeah, that wasn't any good.
Oh, Bad Magazine wasn't any good, so they started Good, huh?
Well, yeah, they didn't want to be bad.
Why don't you two get out, out of here with your bullcrap? Questlove, a musician who often tweets about race issues, was angered by the ad, tweeting Thursday, "Lotion with a 38-year-old stripper's name really wants my head off. Uncivilized." Lotion with a 38-year-old stripper's name really wants my head off. Uncivilized. F. Nivea. Okay. Within hours, Nivea had apologized. On its Facebook page, the company wrote, "This ad was inappropriate and offensive. It was never our intention to offend anyone on Fiji, or for that matter, Africa, or any other place in North America where they wear that kind of hairdo, including you Jufro guys." In other words,
let me see that.
Pull it out of my hand. I was joking. And for this, we are deeply sorry. This ad will never be used again. Please, please, oh dear God, don't stop using our product in the middle of a recession, please. The ad is already printed in the September issue of Esquire, and Nivea still runs other variations of the ad, including one that features a white male model and rubber head with a text about re-civilization. Oh, no text about re-civilization. It's just a male model with, you know, a rubber head. The message there seems to be that white men are already civilized. They just don't look like it, writes Justin Fenner at Stylite of the difference between the two ads. But black men, according to Nivea's brand messaging, are inherently uncivilized and can only become civilized if they forsake what comes out of their hair follicles naturally. Under the apology on Nivea's Facebook page, nearly 100 commentators argued Friday over whether the apology had made up for Nivea's mistake. A commentator named Cammie Fraser wrote, "Wow, what an awesome wall post. Thank you for this. I am thankful that your company is willing to change when others do not agree." Others were not convinced. Commentator Malika A. Muhammad, well, now, what would you think Malika May A. Muhammad would say?
You just say that because she got an Islam name.
No, I think, oh, what, was I profiling her?
Yeah, you were technically, on account of she had the name Malika. Right away, you think she's going to be all Afro, or how you say it?
Afrocentric.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I did. Maybe I did. Now let's find out if I was right. Maybe I did stereotype her and profile her. Is that what I did?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if I was right. Let's see if I was right in profiling a woman by the name of Malika A. Muhammad.
Yeah, but what are you profiling for?
This is the profiling that I'm doing. I'm saying because she has the name Malika A. Muhammad, she is going to be really militant and anti-Nivea lotion and anti-apology, and she's going to want stronger measures. How's that?
And you haven't read her comment.
I have not read her comment, but I am profiling her.
You profile her because of her name?
Yeah, I'm profiling her because of her name.
You think she's black?
Judging by that name, yes, I would say she's black.
What if she's white?
If she's a white woman with the name Malika A. Muhammad, then she's one of these whites that I cannot freaking stand. One of these whites that goes happy Kwanzaa.
Boy, what a racist.
No, that's not racist. The white people that celebrate Kwanzaa are racist because they're trying to co-opt everything. They're trying to be black. They're trying to, in many ways, they're like that Janine Garofalo, trying to speak for black people, trying to tell black people whether they're selling out or not, trying to tell black people whether they're self-hating or not, trying to tell black people what's right for them. Here's how you should be black in this present age that we live in, and you're blowing it if you're a conservative, and you're cool if you're a liberal, and if you're black, you need to believe this, 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 and this. And if you're black, you cannot believe this, 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 and this, according to the white handbook on how to be black.
I never had a white man tell me that.
Bull crap, you haven't had a white man tell you. Every day of your life, you got that going on. Malika A. Muhammad wrote that the fact the ad was published means that you meant what you said. Aha!
Yeah, you read that before.
No, I didn't.
Let me see that.
No, you don't get to see it. I'm going to read it first.
Let me see that. I know you looked at it.
No, I didn't look at it. Yep, I knew it. Malika A. Muhammad wrote that the fact that the ad was published meant that you meant what you said. She said she did not accept the company's apology because the apology in itself is a marketing ploy. Moving on, I'm Malika A. Muhammad. I will always be whatever the hell I am, African with a big bubble hairdo and a jackass.
Wow, man. People are going to think you're all racism and everything.
What do you think, Robert? Am I racist?
No, you ain't a racist, man. You're just being stupid.
How am I being stupid?
You can't profile people.
I just did, and I was right, wasn't I?
You're going to lose your voice again, man, if you keep doing that.
I just did. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-867-4445. Nice work there, Marilyn Donnelly, on your sudden about-face. We may have Chris Norton stopping by later on. Plus, coming up in the News and Information Hour with Bud and Robert is more news on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Introducing Olympic One. Super premium paint without the premium price. Starting at just $24. Insist on Olympic. Exclusively at Lowe's.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
What the hell am I looking at here, man? What is this that you just sent me? I got one comment. I got one comment here. So what are you sending me? I'm completely. 77876-PHIL, what's your problem, bud?
Yeah, be careful of stuff you're talking about.
I'll talk about whatever I want to talk about. Do you understand? But these guys think that they're learning from my mistakes. I learn from my mistakes, okay? But if those guys are going to make the mistake, they're smarter than me. And that is the truth. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We were going to read something from Nivea Lotion, but we blew that out of the water. Basically, what we were going to do is we were going to do a bit where let's see if we can profile people by their comments. But we did it once. I think we proved the point. A former lifeguard is suing the New York State Department of Parks and Recreation for doing what he says they have no right to do, compelling a man in his late 50s to wear a Speedo-style swim brief. Roy Lester, now 61, working as a lifeguard at Jones Beach on Long Island more than 40 years ago, but says he lost his weekend job after the state imposed new swimsuit rules in an annual rehiring test that he was uncomfortable complying with. People don't want to see old people in Speedos, and that's what it comes down to, and I agree with them, Lester told Reuters on Thursday. He's now 61. He began working as a lifeguard at Jones Beach on Long Island more than 40 years ago. So am I to understand that he's been a lifeguard for 40 years? Well, we don't know. His discrimination lawsuit maintains that the Parks Department has a stated preference for young lifeguards and is using the dress code to force out older members of the Corps. They want the lifeguards to look young and attractive, he said. I thought the point of wearing those Speedos is to give you less resistance in the water if you have to get into the water to help someone or to save someone or to otherwise render some kind of assistance. Isn't that what that's about? Isn't that what being a lifeguard wearing a Speedo is about? I don't know anything about... This guy is the guy that's making the issue about how he looks. He's 61. He probably doesn't look good in a Speedo. I don't know. He doesn't think he looks good in a Speedo. So he doesn't want to take the test.
Yeah, but if you look good in a Speedo, it's going to gross everybody out.
Well, what has that got to do with being a lifeguard?
I don't know, man. Be a lifeguard. You can be a lifeguard, but it's grossing people out.
So what if he's grossing people out? So what if he feels uncomfortable? Do you want to be a lifeguard or don't you, Roy Lester? He lost his weekend job after the state imposed new swimsuit rules in an annual rehiring test that he was uncomfortable complying. He didn't lose anything. You quit. He said that people don't want to see old people in Speedos, and that's what it comes down to, and I agree with him. Well, I don't know what you're basing that on, whether it was some poll or whether it was just your impression. You're probably right. I don't know. The discrimination lawsuit maintains that the Parks Department has a stated preference for young lifeguards and is using the dress code to force out older members of the Corps. you didn't comply with a dress code. They didn't fire you because they said you're ugly. You didn't comply. How are you going to prove your case if you haven't got a case to begin with? Because if I'm the state of New York or whoever the hell is the, you know, the attorney representing the state, I'd say, what are you talking about? You got forced out. You quit. You didn't want to comply with these new rules of wearing a Speedo. Well, we don't look good in Speedos. Well, I don't know what you're talking about, sir. The Speedo, those bathing suits, as they pertain to lifeguards, have to do with cutting down the resistance in the water when you're swimming. So you've got a little bit of speed going. That's why they're called Speedos! Because it means something if you have to jump into the water to go and save a life. According to this guy, this Lester, he says, they want the lifeguards to look young and attractive, so after 40 years, you're out of a job. I don't know that you're out of a job. You decided you didn't want to comply, and so they didn't rehire you. You quit. I hate like hell. Well, I hate Reuters anyway. But Reuters, why don't you even make an attempt at being objective when you're reporting this story? All right, we'll come back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.